The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/stereo. netsuite.com/stereo.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
It's time to get inside the Giants huddle.
Let's go, let's go, let's go.
On Giants.com.
I like it.
And the Giants mobile app.
Boom, give me some juice.
Part of the Giants podcast network.
Let's roll.
Welcome to another edition of the Giants Huddle podcast brought to you by Citizens, the official bank of the New York Football Giants. I am John Schmelk, joined by friend of the program, Chris Bisignano. He covers the Giants for Giants Insider. Chris, it's always good to see you, man. How you doing?
Good, good, John. How you doing, man? Thank you for having me back on, man. Busy time of year, brother.
Yeah, I know. I haven't seen you in a bit. Good to talk to you, Chris. Before we get started, tell the folks where they can find all your work.
At Giant Insider on X and the Giant Insider podcast and newspaper, the biweekly newspaper. So, and at Giant Insider, like I said, on X. John, look, I guess we're going to get into it. A lot of stuff going on. Owners meeting, right? Shane, Dable speaking, and the draft coming up, man. Get into it. I know you want to get into it hard. So let's start it up.
Also, John Mara spoke down there as well. I'm sure the fans out there that are listening to this saw a lot of the quotes. What were your biggest takeaways from what was said down there at the owners meetings?
You know, something that really annoys me, John, I say it all the time, that so many people feel that John Mara runs the draft and tells Dable and Joe Shane, this is the way it's going to be, guys. You run everything by me. I'll let you know if it's good and this and that. And basically, John had to say, listen, if Joe Shane and Dave's want to go with a quarterback at six, God bless them. It's their show, right? Basically, that's what they're saying. And John left it out there, and he let people know that, hey, it's a possibility, and it's up to them if they want to trade up, if they want to trade back, whatever it might be, it's just going to be Joe Shane's show. As it should be, and it always has been, you know. And I know a lot of people don't want to hear that, John. A lot of people have this perception of John Mara runs everything and all that stuff. But once again, you got to come out and say, hey, you know, this is their show, and they're going to do what they feel they have to do to improve this team. If that's a quarterback at six or four or three or whatever it might be, then so be it.
Yeah, and to your point, Chris, that's the way it's always been done. I know fans.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't know how, I'm sure you see it on Twitter as well, or X, whatever you want to call it, that, you know, there's no way Joe Shane gives that contract to Daniel Jones on his own without John Mara making him do it. Guys, I hate to tell you, that's exactly what happened. You know, John Mara mentioned this at the owners' meetings. He has, you know, so many grandkids with Saquon jerseys. You know, it would have been the easiest thing in the world to just pay Saquon. Everyone would have been happy. Most of the fans would have been happy. But Joe Shane didn't think that was the right thing to do. And the Mara family allows the people that they hire to run the organization, from the head coach to the general manager, to make these decisions. Mr. Mara pointed out that if he's asked his opinion, he will give it. But in the end, the decision is left to the people in charge. And that's how this is going to go. And that's how it's always gone. And I think it's important for fans to understand that.
John, I try to express that message to people who don't want to hear it, but it's the facts. Hey, look, John, when Dave Gettleman drafted Tony, John said a few times to Dave, I noticed for a fact, John said a few times to Dave, he said, you sure about this? You sure about that? Gettleman says, yeah, you know, and he went on draft. I mean, if John was a very influential owner where he was his way, like you said, Barkley would still be a Giant right now. Hey, Joe, my grandkids got Saquon. I want him here. You pay him no matter what. And he would still be a Giant, but that's not the way it works yet. I know people just don't want to hear that, but that's the facts.
And by the way, Chris, just real quick, I'll even go back even further. if John Mara was really the one making all these decisions, do you think they would have benched Eli Manning for Geno Smith? I'm serious.
No.
And he said after the fact that he probably should have had more control over the situation, but he let Jerry Reese and Ben McAdoo do what they thought was right. Yep. And that's just how he operates. He's involved. He knows what's going on. He's at practice. He's in team meetings, as he mentioned. But in the end, the decision makers are going to make these decisions.
Absolutely. And look, like John says, I might get involved a few times if it's off field issues or something like that. That's very rare, right, John? But he doesn't. He lets his football people look. John Mara wants to win. I know people don't want to hear this. They think, oh, he's just sitting for the money. John Mara wants to win more than anybody. I see him after games like you do, John. I'm sure he doesn't. You know, nobody takes these losses harder than him, brother. You know,
Chris, is there anything worse than if it's a lopsided game at halftime and you're going to the bathroom in the press box and John Mara's? He watches the game basically from the press box.
He's pissed.
You walk past him, and it's not the best. And he cares. He cares deeply about whether the team wins or loses. Couple other topics from there, Chris. And this is kind of what we've been saying on our shows, too. And I'm not surprised that this is how, you know, Brian Daboll, Joe Shane, and John Mara talked about the quarterback position at the owners' meetings as well, that they expect Daniel to be the starter this year, assuming the rehab continues upon a schedule. But that doesn't mean if they think that there's someone special in the draft that they could acquire at the right price that they think can, as John Mara put it, a franchise type quarterback that can be your quarterback for a very long time, that they wouldn't pull the trigger on that. So I think Paul Schwartz put it a few months ago in a story. He was on with us at the Combine too. Not desperate to add a quarterback, but if they find someone that they think can, you know, be a special player at the position, they're more than willing to explore it. And they're investigating everything like they do every year, because you never know when this research and work you do on the quarterbacks is going to matter.
Yeah, John, look, I've been saying this on my podcast and writing about this. John, look, the quarterback is in a conversation with the Giants. It has been for months. Are they going to reach? Is it a desperate type mode? Absolutely not. Is there interest in drafting a franchise, so-called franchise quarterback? Absolutely. They're not doing all this work for nothing, John. We know that. They bring in these kids. They've interviewed them at the combine, pro days. They brought these kids in the building. Okay, they've been in the building. So there's definitely an interest, no question about it. But Joe Shane and Brian Daboll is not just going to draft a quarterback for the sake of drafting a quarterback. Okay. They are going to look into these kids, and if they like somebody, and we don't know how they have them graded out, okay? I know a lot of people think they try to pretend like they do know how these guys are graded out, but we don't. We don't know how these guys, you know, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll might have Drake May graded out one way, and another team like Vegas might have him graded out another way.
And Chris, by the way, I don't think, and Brian Daboll basically said this, I don't think he's done doing his work on these quarterbacks either.
Not even close.
Yeah. So they're not going to make a decision on this until their head coach, who is a quarterback whisperer and an offensive guy, gives his full opinion on the group. So, and John Mara said this as well, that the owners means, I think there's still a lot of work to do here on their decision. What I don't think they'll do is draft a guy that they have 25th on their board, even if he's at the quarterback position, and pass it on another guy that is probably top five on their board in terms of overall grade. You know, probably not even a guy that's 17th on their board to draft a guy that's top five on their board. So I'm with you 1,000%.
Yeah, John, they're not going to reach. Joe Shane and Brian Daboll know what the hell they're doing, okay? Especially Daboll, okay? We all know his history with quarterbacks, all right? Look, their draft board's not even remotely close to being finished. It's not even, probably hasn't even started or barely started, okay? So we don't know how these guys are grading these quarterbacks, okay? So every team, that's the beauty of the draft. Teams evaluate different ways, okay? So we'll see how Shane and Daboll, like you said, John, just for argument's sake, you know, say a Bo Nix, right? Daboll and Shane might have him drafted second round level. This is just an argument, okay? Where a team like Denver might have him up in a top 15 type grade, where they'll go with him. This is the beauty of the draft. Nobody knows. I know people like to pretend like they know on Twitter and all that stuff, but nobody knows how these guys are going to grade these guys out. But what they are going to do, okay, that we know, is that they're going to look at them, they're going to study them, they're going to evaluate the process. There's a whole month left to the draft, and every day I'm sure they're going to be doing that, looking into, besides quarterbacks, all these positions, but especially quarterback, because we know how important it is, and there's a good chance that Shane and Daboll will be aggressive, either moving up or at six and taking one. But like you said, John, they're not going to take one just for the sake of taking one. It's going to be where they draft, their position, and how they have these kids graded out. And that's the beauty of the draft. We just don't know that right now.
Yeah, and it's a trade too, and I don't want to get too deep into the draft. We'll kind of circle back to this at the end. You know, this is a situation too, Chris, where you can't make this trade ahead of time, right? You know, it's very hard to trade up. Let's say the Patriots want to trade out, which I don't think they do, by the way, but let's just say in our hypothetical world that they are. If you trade up to three now, well, what happens if there's only one quarterback that you like other than Caleb Williams, right? And then right. Washington takes that guy. Well, then you're up, you know what's creek, and there's nothing you can really do here. Even worse, if you're trading up with the Chargers or the Cardinals, if they decide to get out, well, then there might be one guy left. Well, what if that one guy that ends up being left is not the guy that you want to pick? So this is something that might have to wait till draft night if they decide to, in fact, move up, which is what I'm interested to see what the Chargers do here and that team specifically, because I really feel like they want to get out. How early are they able to execute that trade to get out? Can they find the team that is okay with any of the four quarterbacks? And they'll get out early. And then maybe the Giants aren't willing to make that move so early because they don't love all four guys or five guys. Maybe they have another guy in that category. Who knows? Maybe there's only three for them, whatever. So I think the type of, you know, process and machinations involved in this make it complicated in getting it done because you don't know when who's going to be there and when this trade can even be executed. And it might give another team an advantage. Another thing too, and I don't mean to make it a super long question, but maybe the Chargers would rather move down 10 spots, pick up three extra picks, than move down one spot and just pick up one extra pick, you know, because the price of the Giants to move from 6 to 5 is going to be different than the Vikings for moving from, you know, what are they, 13?
11 to 5.
So all these different things are a factor here in what type of trade might be able to get done if, in fact, they end up wanting to make that type of move at all.
Yeah, absolutely, John. I mean, you look, Washington could turn around and they could take a J.J. McCarthy and say, okay, we got this kid great. I mean, we all know J.J.'s stock is rising right now. I mean, that could change in the next month, as we've seen with the draft. That's the beauty of the draft. It, people go up and down. But what if Washington turns around and says, oh, at pick number two, Washington goes with J.J. Now, you know, the Giants could have just J.J. and, you know, and another kid like, oh, obviously Caleb's going to Chicago, so we'll leave him off the board. So, but, and now you that throws a whole wrinkle into everything, right? They might not have a Drake May in a top four grade, top five grade, top six grade, or they might not have a genius. You know, it all depends on how they have these kids graded out. But like you said, that could throw a whole monkey wrench in everything. If Washington turns around and says, okay, at two, we're going to go with J.J. McCarthy. Now, you know, so now you got to, but like you said, John, you know, you have to be ready to pull the trigger on these trades, and you just don't know what's going to happen, brother.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't Nick?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You have to be ready. They're going to be prepared for this trade, this team. But you just don't know what's going to happen.
You love turf. You're good at it. So you start a turf biz. Business grows. Your savings grow. Become the most celebrated name in turf. Are you ready for all that life brings?
You have no idea.
Yeah,
100%. So. And we'll circle back to what the Giants might do in the draft in terms of players in a little bit. One other thing from the owners' meeting, a couple other things here, Chris. A lot was made of the play calling questions that Brian Daboll was asked, whether or not he'll take over play calling duties, what he did last year with play calling duties, why he did what he did, if he did what he did. And basically, Brian Daboll went 20 minutes and gave non-answers to all the questions because he doesn't, which frankly, that's what I would do. He doesn't want to lock himself into a decision of what he's going to do if he hasn't really decided yet. My guess is that we're not going to know until they line up in week one who's got the play sheet in front of him and who's going to call play. So if Giant fans are anxious to find out what the Giants are going to do, my guess is that it's going to take a while for them to figure this thing out. And, you know, I just think a lot is being made of him giving non-answers. And I just think this is going to be a wait and see proposition, Chris. Obviously, Shea Tierney got a promotion. Mike Kafka got a promotion. He likes both guys a lot. He has confidence in those guys. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But I don't think we're going to have a definitive answer on this thing for quite a long time.
Knowing Dave's the way I know him, John, we probably won't get that answer until the night before the last presser before the first game.
You guys will be in the press box with your binoculars trying to figure out who's calling plays on the first drive of the season. I promise you that's what's going to happen.
It could very well be. I mean, look, Dave's is Dave's. We're all around him all the time. We all did 1,000 presses with him, and Dave's is going to be Dave's. He's not going to give you much, okay? So, but I do feel, you know, knowing Dave's, sometimes the way he gives answers, and I do feel he's in deep thought with this, and I think he wants to be that CEO. He doesn't want to lose that CEO presence. What I mean by that is that, okay, so now you're calling the plays. Are you involved with the defense, special teams? No, I think Dave's doesn't want to be that, okay, I'm the offensive type head coach. I'm going to have the play sheet in front of me, and I'm going to be looking down when the defense is on the field, because some guys do that, okay?
Especially, Chris, with a brand new special teams and defensive coordinator. Absolutely. You know, that's something he's probably going to want to keep an eye on, you know?
Absolutely. So I think Dave's he's going to really look at, like he said, he goes, you know, I'm going to look into this. The thought process is there. I'm going to look, you know, he wants to look into what other coaches do, because there's a lot of coaches just call one side of the ball, right? But he doesn't want to lose that, hey, I'm the CEO presence too. That's very important to Dave's. He wants to be the head coach, John, not just a coordinator that's a head coach on paper. You get what I'm saying? Which we've seen over the years with certain guys. Okay, so Dave's doesn't want to lose that. So he'll look into it. We'll see. Like you said, we're not going to get that answer, bro. We could ask him, and I'm sure guys are going to ask him 3,000 times in training camp, and Dave's going to give the same answer like he always does, and we'll find out, you know, in the first game of the year. So we'll see what he does.
Yeah, and look, he said he likes to call plays. He misses calling plays. I think we know he's good at calling plays. So we'll see what that decision is. Again, I have no idea if he's decided yet, if he's still figuring it out. Whatever the situation might be, my guess is that he's still trying to figure it out. But I mean, he seems to me be a guy that would want to be that full head coach. And
oh, absolutely.
My guess is that he's going to have Kafka / Shea Tierney call those plays. But I don't know. Again, that's just a guess on my part. I have no idea. That's just what my, you know, feel for the situation.
Yeah, I'm sure he's maybe leaning one way right now in his decision, John, but he wants to really give it a thought. Look, it's early in the game. There's no reason to even be talking about this now. I mean, you could bring it up subject, but it's way too early for that type of stuff. And so, like I said, I'm sure he's thinking maybe leaning one way, but he's going to really look. Brian Daboll's a sharp dude, bro. We all know that, John. He is a sharp guy, okay? And he doesn't do anything without thinking into it, thinking a long time into it. So that's what he'll do with this process, I'm sure.
John Soto Podcast is brought to you by Citizens, the official bank of the New York Giants. From game day to every day, Citizens is made ready for Giant fans with insights, guidance, and solutions. Learn more at citizensbank.com. All right, Chris, let's talk free agency here. This is like kind of part two of the show. Brian Burns, that was the big move, right? They basically decided we're not going to pay money to Saquon Barkley and Xavier McKinney. We'll let them go. Well, the answer to that is we're going to take all that money and we're going to spend it on Brian Burns. And of course, the hole they had to pay to get access to the player was the 39th overall pick, which I'm sure killed Joe Shane to trade. You can get a really good player with that pick, but you're not going to get access to a top pass rusher that's 25 years old like Brian Burns on the free agent market. You have to pay a toll to get access to him. The toll you had to pay was that second round pick. Your thought on that decision process to go get Burns and the decisions not to return Saquon and McKinney?
Yeah, look, it's a premium position. That's the bottom line. Yep. And Joe's going to pay premium position guys. Edge guys, something they feel, you know, they need to upgrade big time, and he did. You know, Brian Burns is one of the top guys on the edge. And, I know a lot of people look at it and look, well, that's come on, Chris. He only had 12 and a half sacks his best year 2 years ago. But also, Brian Burns has played not with the lead very much in the fourth quarter with Carolina. Okay, it's a whole different ball game. So he's one of the top, like you said, John, young. Man, what is he, 25? I mean, he's young. And they're going to pay a premium position. And obviously, that affected guys like McKinney and Barkley. And here's the bottom line, and I've been talking about this, you know, running back and safety is not premium positions, okay? Edge guy is. The Giants felt they needed to upgrade the edge. They did. And they could put a very special package on the field now, especially if Aziz gives you 17 games, 14 games, or if he stay, let's just say he stays healthy. You know, you're looking at a very, the way Shane Bowen wants to do it with his four-man rush, you're looking at a very good four-man up front, man, on those third and fives and third and six, et cetera, okay? But, yeah, look, I like what he did. Joe's aggressive, man. You know, he's going to trade. We know that. We've seen it. He wanted his guy. He went. Look, the beauty of this, John, is that, yeah, you know it killed Joe to give up that second round, but he also has another second round. So that's big, too. You know, that's big, too. So it's not like we get – there's no second-round pick. They do have a second-round pick a little bit later. But you have to do what you have to do sometimes, right, to get a guy like Brian Burns, and Joe did, you know, and then you go out and you pay him. And I think they look at it like, okay, you know, we're going to give up this collateral, but, man, we are getting a guy that's in his prime that could get you double-digit sacks every season, you know. And now you team him up with a guy opposite of a Thibodeau on the other side, Aziz, Dex inside, you know, all the whatever package Shane Bowen wants to put together. And that's a pretty formidable unit right there, John, you know. So, look, one of the issues is getting to the quarterback. The Giants really haven't done that. I mean, you know, they're going from one coordinator that blitzed the crap out of the ball and still didn't get many drops on quarterbacks. Now you've got a guy coming in with Shane Bowen, a different philosophy. So what do you do? So, well, that kind of meets his philosophy, right? Shane's basically a four-down rush guy. And now you add this guy, you know, with alongside talent. Like Ryan says, hey, I got a bunch of dogs next to me, man. Dexter, you hopefully Aziz, you got Thibodeau, you know, all that stuff. So I like what he did. What I like about Joe is that, hey, I'm going to be aggressive if I see something I want. And that's what he did. And the beauty, like I said, dude, John, is that you still have a second-round pick, you know, so that's big, too.
Yeah, that was that Leonard Williams trade that got him the extra pick. And basically the price they got, rather, for Leonard Williams is what they paid to get access to Brian Burns. So they kind of moved in concert. Obviously, the picks are a little bit different. They're 8 apart, 47 versus 39. But still, they add a guy, and now – you know, you mentioned how that defense can be special. How do you think that Bowen defense is going to kind of come together? And what do you think it's going to look like for fans that are anxious to see what a non-Wink Martindale defense looks like with this personnel?
Yeah. Well, folks, I've been, you know, for you, for everybody who's been watching a lot of blitz in the last 3 years with Wink, well, you're not going to see a lot of that with Shane Bowen. He's basically, you know, not that Shane is not going to blitz at all, but he believes in that four rush guy. You know, he wants to rush four and he wants to drop that seven and all that. So you're going to see a different type of defense, you know, and one of the reasons why, you know, you upgrade that edge guy, you know, when you could get to the quarterback with four guys, that's a big difference, you know. So that's the biggest thing. When Giants fans start watching this team in September, John, that's going to be the biggest, you know, you're going to look at guys like Winkle he'll run the zero blitz at times. He'll blitz six guys up front. You're not going to see a whole lot of that. You know, you're going to see a mix with Shane as far as cover twos, threes, you know, and all that stuff. And it's going to be a different philosophy, and guys are going to have to get used to it. But that's what they do. They're NFL players. They'll adjust to the new scheme. And but it's definitely going to be a different look, no question about it. And Shane added a big piece to the scheme Shane Bowen wants to run, and that's big. You know, that's big. You draft, you sign free agents to guys the scheme that your coordinators want to run, right? And that's what Shane wants to do. And that Joe got him, went out and got him a big piece.
All right, so let's stick on the defense here before we head over back to the offense with the other moves they made in free agency, Chris. Yeah. Where do you think the biggest holes now lie? Where are the biggest needs as you continue through this offseason, you get to the draft, on this defense, considering the way Bowen wants to run it?
Yeah, well, I think corner opposite of Tay Banks is going to be one of them. You know, I got to be honest with you, John, I'm a little surprised. You know, I know they brought Jalen Mills in and he's like a safety now and all that stuff. He's a vet. He's up there. But I'm a little surprised that Joe didn't address the cornerback in safety position with a veteran. Now, I know Jalen Mills, but Jalen Mills saw his playing time, you know, decreased in New England too the last few years. But anyway, so they're going to have to address that. I look at the corner spot. Now, I'm not saying they have some young guys out there now, okay? You got the Nick McCloud, you got the Cordell, that always a slot guy. You could throw him on the outside too and all that stuff. And you have the young Trey Hawkins going to be entering his second year. We all know it was this training camp. He looked great in training camp last year. Then the regular season started and it was a different story, okay? Which is we always seem to get one of those guys in training camp every year. But I'm not giving up on
Trey. By the way, Chris, I think every team gets one of those guys.
Every team has him, John.
If the Giant fans don't realize it, Yeah. Every fan base has a couple players in camp who like, oh my gosh, the sixth round pick's going to be great. And then, oh, the real game started. And now it looks a lot different.
John, absolutely. Because, you know, you look around the league during training camp and you read about, you know, the beat writers, what they're saying. And there's always one guy like they say, oh, this guy, you know, John Schmelt looks great. And I always sit there like, well, wait till the bell rings in September, right? So we kind of saw that with Trey. Not that I'm giving up on Trey. He'll be in the mix next year, be competing. But you asked me what position.
He was a sixth round pick out of Old Dominion. But the idea that he was going to come in year one and be some kind of top end starter, it's not fair to the kid. I mean, he's a developmental prospect. You got to give him some time here. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, you know what happened, John? You're there every day, too. He played so well in camp is that people, he opened up. Hey, look, and let's face it. He showed he could, you know what I mean? So it was a little bit, you know, he was a little bit in over his head at the beginning of the year. But I'm not giving up on Trey. You know what I mean? He'll be his second year. He'll be in the mix and all that. But they're going to have to address, in my opinion, they're going to have to address that cornerback position opposite of Deontay Banks. There's no question about it. Now, at safety, you know, you lose a guy like McKinney, who's obviously a very good football player. And you're going to, right now on paper, you got some young guys, you know, and you have the veteran Jalen Mills in the mix too. So those are two positions right now, in my opinion, that are kind of, they have holes and they're going to have to be either via, there's still some veterans out there, free agent market and the draft, you know, and we'll see what Joe wants to do there. Now on the inside, you got some young guys like Jordan Riley next to Dex and all that, but it wouldn't surprise me to see him go defensive lineman too in the draft, John, to bring another guy, you know, so. But the one that worries me right now, as we sit here in at the end of March, is going to be who's going to be opposite of Tay Banks. That's the one that concerns me right now.
No, I'm with you. I agree. In terms of the defensive linemen, and we've had this debate on our programs here, Chris, are you looking to add another run stopper next to Lawrence? Are you looking for more of your upfield, smaller pass rusher type that you could put next to Dex?
No, I think Dex has got – I want to see a guy that can really – stop that run, John, you know, because this team has struggled against the run, you know, the last few years. So I like to see a big body there next to Dex. Dex could push that pocket. We all know that. But I'd love to see a guy. Look, I thought, you know, a guy like Gashon Robinson was doing a pretty decent job. Of course, we lost him, right? We lost him. These things happen, right? I thought he really came on in the latter half of the year, and I wanted to see him stay, but it happens. You know, you can't keep everybody, you know, so he moves on. He got a good deal. What are you going to do? You know, but yeah, I like to see. Look now. Could Jordan Riley, like a kid like Jordan Riley, be that guy? You know, yeah, possible. You know, he'll be entering year two. You got Nacho back. You know, but I still think they're going to address that in the draft. And if you ask, like you asked me, what would you rather see? I want to see a big kid that kind of clogs up those gaps, John. You know what I mean? That stops the run. You know, next to Dex. That's what I'm looking for.
Interesting. See, I think Dex, as your kind of one technique, zero technique, depending on how Bowen wants to line him up, right? I think then you need that three, which is more of your upfield guy to kind of replace what Leonard was before, you know, he got traded to Seattle. So I think it's interesting because I think there are good arguments on both sides there, especially given the Giants' issues against the run. I totally get where you're coming from. I'll be curious to see, you know, especially Bowen and, you know, Joe Shane's point at the combine that he wants guys that to get upfield into the quarterback. Mm-hmm. So I'm very curious to see how they view that second defensive tackle position, because I do think that there are good arguments on both sides of that.
Yeah, you know, and you could look what a healthy Aziz. Now you could, it'd be interesting to see how they mix this up, right, John? As far as, okay, so now you got a third and seven, and you have a Brian Burns on one side, you got Tibbs on the other side, you got Dex. Hey, you throw an Aziz on a three tech, right? You remember the old days where you kind of mix it up with the Tuck and Ozzie and all those guys in the NASCAR, you know, the whole package. I'm not saying that's what the level of talent is, but I'm saying is that you could kind of mix them up front. That's what I'm curious to see. You know, what Andre Patterson, defensive line coach, and Shane Bowen, what they do with these guys up front, how they mix, you know, mix and match. Aziz to me is going to be very interesting, John, because a healthy Aziz is right now, healthy going into camp. Aziz is the second best pass rusher on his team behind Brian Burns.
All right? I would say behind Burns and Dexter, but yes.
John, look at Aziz's number when he's healthy, man. The games he plays and his sacks, okay? So, but whatever. I'm not going to argue. You know, it's whatever, you know, but Aziz is a guy that, you know, we all know. I know people are going to be like, come on, Chris, he's never healthy. I get it. I know that. I'm talking about a healthy Aziz. So it'd be interesting to see how they mix and match with those guys up front. It really is, to see how they line them up.
I think it'll be a lot of fun. I'm with you. All right, let's jump to the offensive side of the ball in free agency, Chris. They had a couple of offensive linemen in John Runyon Jr. and Jermaine Illuminor. Then you also had guys like Aaron Schlottman, Aaron Stinney, that are kind of depth pieces on the line.
Yeah.
And John Mara, again, made the point that I think the quote was that it's ridiculous that we continue having these offensive line issues. He expects it to be better this year. And Joe Shane made the point, too, that, you know, obviously they're trying to get that group better. Also, one of the pieces of news coming out of there that they're going to start Evan Neal this offseason and keep him at right tackle, which probably means Jermaine Illuminor will probably start inside a guard, though Brian Daboll did not commit, much like with the play calling, did not want to commit to who's playing what positions on that offensive line. So have to wait till OTAs to see where they line up to figure that part out. What do you think overall about how the Giants decided to address the O-line in free agency?
Yeah, look, and I like what Joe did, okay? I felt they needed a upgrade in a pass pro guard, John. I felt they really struggled in that last year at times, Pugh, Brennison. And one thing that John Runyon Jr. gives you, okay, he's probably a better pass pro guard than a run blocking guard.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. Remember, he was a left tackle in Michigan, so he knows how to pass protect.
I mean, there's no question. When you watch him on film and when you watch him when he played for the Packers, the way he attacks a pass pro, he looks like a tackle, right? I mean, he strikes out with the hands. You know, he's not the most athletic guy with his feet and all that, but he's definitely an upgrade and something I felt they needed, and that's a guard that could pass pro well. And there's no question, John Runyon Jr. And he's got that nasty, like his dad, right? Like his dad, he's kind of got that nastiness in the inside. I like that, John. You know, I like that. I felt the Giants needed that. So I like what Joe did. Obviously, Jermaine Illuminor, I hope I'm saying that right.
Now you got it. Good job.
Okay, thank you. I'm not exactly the best at pronouncing names too, but I'm fortunate enough to get that one right. Jermaine is a guy that obviously we know he could play guard. He played guard a lot in Baltimore. He did it in his career. He has done it in his career, and he's a tackle, and he's played pretty good tackle. So Evan Neal, no question, you can't give up on Evan yet, okay? He's going to go into camp as a tackle. But you do have Jermaine now, and what I mean by that is this, John. It's year three for Evan, and he's had a lot of health issues. Don't get me wrong. But to me, John, this is going to be a short leash for Evan at the tackle position this season. I don't think if he struggles, okay, and it's not all Evan's fault. You know, he's had health issues and all that. But let's face it, John, he hasn't played like a seventh overall pick yet,
hey, look,
okay?
Joe Shane said it in his postseason press conference. Evan Neal has to play better.
Right. I'm not here getting on anybody. This is exactly what the Giants and the organization, this is how the Giants feel. And Joe Shane said he has to get better. So they're going to give him a chance to get better, John. Okay. And it's going to be his position to lose. But I fully believe that it will be a short leash on Evan Neal this year, because you have a guy like Jermaine could slide right over and play right tackle. So we'll see how that plays out. But it's nice to have, look, Even a signing like Aaron Stinney, okay, he's a guy that started and won a Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Bucs. He played with them. You know, he's not a bad guard, a guy, a veteran. We all up. Nice little pickup, nice depth guy. Guy goes down, you go Aaron in there, right? So I kind of like what Joe did. Of course, they have to do it on the field. We all know that. But I love the Jermaine Illuminor versatility, because if Evan struggles again, there's no way, John, they are going to sit there, Daboll and Shane. It'd be malpractice to watch him sit there because he's a seventh overall pick and watch him struggle week after week. I think he's on a short leash.
I don't think any of those decisions will get made in the spring because they're not in pads yet. They're not.
Oh no, absolutely not. I'm talking about regular season. Yeah.
No, but I think even if we get through like a couple preseason games and four weeks of camp, and they see in one-on-ones in practice and stuff that Neal's having some issues, I'm with you. I would not be surprised if we see Illuminor up. Maybe he'll get a couple snaps here, a tackle now and then, just to try to make sure they're ready. And when free agency started, and this is why I love the Illuminor signing so much. Again, not that he's going to be a Pro Bowler or an All-Pro or anything like that, but he was a starting caliber right tackle for the Raiders for two straight years under the Giants' current offensive line coach. So we know it's going to work, okay? I had Michael Onwenu kind of circled when free agency started, because he could play right tackle, he could play guard. He could do both, right? Well, once they spent all the money on Brian Burns, allocating the amount of cap space you would need to get a guy like Onwenu became very difficult. So they found the guy that was cheaper but had the same profile, right? That could play tackle and can slide into guard. And to your point, I think it makes the Evan Neal situation a lot easier to handle, knowing you have a stopgap or maybe even better than a stopgap. That's probably downplaying the way Luminor played the last couple years.
A quality right tackle. Yeah.
Correct. That can step in and play that spot if Neal doesn't play well enough to hold the position. And I just think that was, you know, finding a guy that could do that, I think was a really, really an underrated, important part of what the Giants did this offseason.
John, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. Giant fans should be excited about this new offensive line coach, Carmen Brasillo. And I'll tell you why quickly, John. Jermaine Illuminor said in his presser to us about when he was a rookie, a first year, second year, he goes, I stunk. You remember when he said that?
He told me in my interview that he stunk the first 4 years of his career.
And I'm going to give you a quick story, John.
Yeah.
I remember when he played guard for the Ravens. And he was in there, and I was watching him going, wow, I'm shocked Harbaugh's going with this guy at guard. I specifically remember seeing that to myself, right? And then the last 2 years, I'm watching him with Vegas, John, especially last year. And I'm saying to myself, wait a minute. Is that the same Jermaine Illuminor that I saw in Baltimore that couldn't block a guy? You know, I was like, wow, what you want to talk about an improvement? I was like, holy crap. And guess what, people? Well, that offensive line coach from the Dante Scarnecchia school, okay, is not a Giants offensive line coach. And it goes to show you how much an offensive line coach could really change a guy. And Jermaine, in my opinion, John, Jermaine Illuminor is one of those guys that you look at him and say, man, is that the same guy that was in the league 3-4 years ago? Look how much better he is. He is now a solid, like you said, John, do I think he's making Pro Bowls and All Pros? No. But he is a solid right tackle. And that's something the Giants have now if Evan doesn't work out.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're ready for a change. Payday comes early with Citizens, so go to that retreat. New you moves to the country. Now you're raising goats and launching a lifestyle brand. Are you ready for all that life brings?
Giant fans love a winner. It's why they love Citizens, named a 2022 Best Bank in the U.S. by The Banker. As the official bank of the Giants and sponsor of the Huddle, Citizens is made ready for fans of Big Blue. Learn more at citizensbank.com. Oh, actually, Chris, I forgot. Devin Singletary. That was one big offensive addition we did not talk about in free agency. I almost forgot him before we jumped to the draft here. Look, I watched this tape. I was really impressed by it. I think he's elusive. I like his.
Absolutely.
I think his height actually helps him. It gives him good contact balance. Guys have trouble picking him up. He was just as productive as Saquon was in fewer carries last year. Now, obviously, playing with C.J. Stroud, and I think probably helped out a lot for Devin Singletary in Houston. I'm not saying he's as good of a player as Saquon Barkley by any means, but I think he'll step in here, and I think he'll be a very solid starter for them.
Oh, absolutely. It's a good running back, John. He's a good running back. Is he Saquon? No, of course not. But he does Saquon things where he'll get you those yards. He's good. He has good hands, John. He'll get you catch. You know, he'll get you receptions.
The only thing he's lacking is that top end breakaway speed.
He
can do everything else.
Right. He's not a home run hitter, but he could do everything else. And I know I might upset some Saquon fans with this, but he's a better pass pro running back than Saquon. Okay.
Now Saquon did get a lot better about at that last year.
Yes.
He did,
but, yeah. Look, I'm just saying, you know, that wasn't Saquon's forte. Okay. You watch Singletary though, and he's a pretty good pass pro back. Now, is he? Of course, he's not Saquon Barkley. I'm not saying that, but he's a very good back. Obviously, they're very familiar with Evan from Buffalo. But he's a guy that's going to give you yards. He's going to give you catches. Look, he didn't break. how much would he sign for, right? Not a guy signed for $10 million a year, $11 million a year. Nice price tag on him for a very good player. And I was, look, I think they had that lined up where they kind of knew, John, that Saquon probably wasn't going to be here again. And they had guys lined up, and I was one of them for sure.
All right, Chris, let's jump over to the draft now before we wrap this sucker up. Sitting there at six, we already kind of touched on the quarterback. You could circle back there if you want to. What are your overall thoughts here at number six? To me, you look at the group of skill position guys on this team now, Chris, and you're going to have a chance to get a guy who would be a top 10 wide receiver in any draft, whether it's Neighbors, whether it's Adunze, whether, who knows, Marvin Harrison Jr. You never know who's going to be there at six when the Giants pick. I would have a hard time believing, given what Joe Shane and Brian Daboll saw in Buffalo and how much Stephon Diggs' addition helped that offense and their quarterback up there, that they would pass on one of those top wide receivers they're sitting there at six and the whole quarterback thing doesn't work out.
John, I couldn't agree with you more, bro. I mean, if the quarterback thing doesn't work for them, if it doesn't work out, I don't think there's any way. John, I look at these. I've seen these three kids in college like you have, and I've watched a lot of tape on them. And I got to be honest with you, John. I look at Marvin, and I look at Rome, and I look at Malik Neighbors, and to me, these are three, I hate to say this because they haven't played a snap in the NFL, but these are three can't-miss wide receivers, in my opinion. Guys that are going to come in and make an impact, put them on the X, and they're going to make an impact for you, man. I look at them, I just love all three, and to me, there is no way. Look, Daniel Jones has not had a number one receiver since he's been here. Daniel Jones, people, is going to be the quarterback here in September. Whether you like it or not, he's going to be their quarterback, okay? The kid has never had a true number one receiver. Well, guess what, right, John? There's three of them right there. Three of them. And the Giants are going to have a pick on one. Hey, John, you know, a month ago, if I would have, me and you would have talked either via text or on your show, and I would have said, hey, you know, there's a shot they're going to get Marvin Harrison. You would have said, Chris, do me a favor. Stop drinking when you come on my shows. There's no chance of they getting Marvin Harrison. He's going to, well, guess what? A month later now, we're still a month on the draft. Don't get me wrong. But there's a chance. There's a possibility the Giants could land Marvin Harrison Jr.
Well, let me put it this way, Chris. 2 years ago now, right? If I would have told you when the Giants were picking at, it was 5-7, right? The Thibodeau-Neal year.
Yes, 5-7.
At this time that year, we thought Thibodeau had a good chance of being either the first or second defensive end taken, and Neal was going to be the first offensive tackle taken. If I told you those guys would have been available at 5-7 that year, you would have told me I was crazy.
Yeah, I would have said you were nuts. Yeah, absolutely. And here we are, John. Here we are a month away, and the way it's shaping up, the way J.J. McCarthy's stock is rising, you could have the first four picks, you know, if Arizona trades out, quarterback.
And the market is going to be so hot, too, because the Raiders, the Broncos, the Vikings, they're all going to be bidding for that pick.
Absolutely. And the Vikes have two number ones to play with. Okay? So they're going to be very aggressive. Kevin O'Connell's going to be very aggressive. Okay? They're going to, and if they have JJ a top four grade, now, like I said, like we talked about the beginning of this, right? We don't know how these teams have these guys graded. But say, argument's sake, they have JJ a top four grade. Okay? Or even JJ goes third and they have Jaden Daniels up top four, whatever. Guess what? The draft really starts at pick five now, okay, with the Chargers. The first four could go quarterbacks. So what are the Chargers doing? Well, guess what? They got Justin Herbert. They might say, well, we're not passing up on a Joe Wall. Hey, you know what? We feel Brock Bowers is a difference maker for Justin Herbert and our offense. Okay, we're going to go with him at five, okay? We don't know. That's the point I'm at. I mean, do you realize I'm Marvin Harrison Jr.? And in my opinion, John, this is just my opinion, he's still the best receiver in this draft, okay? Okay? Do you now realize that Marvin Harrison Jr. could fall into the Giants' laps at six if Joe isn't aggressive moving up or if they don't go quarterback or how it plays out? I'm just talking about hypothetical, okay? Marvin Harrison Jr. could be a Giant. If not, John, you look at the Malik Neighbors. You look at Rome Odunze, dude, I've seen these guys. You've seen them. They're so impressive, John. To me, they come in from day one, and they're making an impact. Impact. You put them on the X, and there you go. There's your number one. And all of a sudden, the Giants have a pretty damn good receiving group, right?
Because I think all those guys would elevate what Hyde and Wandell Robinson and Slayton can do, right? It just makes it easier for those other three guys.
Absolutely, John. And if Darren Waller is back, it makes it easier for him too. Okay. So, hey, that's, I don't think there's any way, John, that if the quarterback thing doesn't work out, they don't go with a wide receiver at number six. That's my opinion, bud.
Could you, if it's not a receiver, what else could you sell to Giant fans as being a logical move?
Obviously, an offensive lineman to tackle then. I think that you look at if they don't go wide receiver, then you get your tackle. And then you take it from there, offensive line. Well, you know, right? Because that's something, obviously, they haven't had a good offensive line in a long time. And if they don't go receiver route, then obviously they have a guy like, let's say, I'll give a sake, like a Joe Alt or the kid from Penn State or the other, graded up there. And they say, okay, we're getting this kid in here. Okay, we're gonna upgrade this offensive line. And we'll work out the right tackle, all that stuff, all that down the road. But I tell you what, John. Call me crazy, man, but I also will not, it would not shock me. Say they don't go wide receiver, quarterback, the whole deal. They're sitting there at six. It would not shock me for Brock Bowers.
Nah, there we go. That's what I like, a wild card.
I'm telling you, John, if I'm sitting in the media room that Thursday night and the Giants go Brock Bowers at six, I'm not going to sit there and go, what? What? Are you effing good? I'll be like, okay. You know, it would not shock me. I think personally, like you just asked me, I think it's wide receiver, no question. But the wild card, like you just said, Brock Bowers.
Yeah. Okay. And we'll see what happens with Darren Waller. Obviously, there's still some, you know, mystery regarding that.
Don't know what's going on with him.
We'll see what happens. And Brock Bowers is an excellent football player. I think I would have trouble picking him over one of those wide receivers, I think, but I think it's interesting.
I agree.
All right, day two. What would you be your focus, Chris, in terms of trying to fill those needs? I imagine, given our previous conversation, secondary would and defensive tackle would probably be your two big focuses.
Absolutely. I think cornerback in that second round, John, is something that has to be looked at. Safety in the middle rounds, defensive line, another defensive line, and another guard. Look, you have six picks, okay? Bring in another guard, you know, fourth round, you know, whatever it might be. You know, bring another young kid in here on the offensive line, right? But to me, John, that second round, you have to seriously look at cornerback, you know, and there's some good corners. There's some good corners in the second and third round, you know, and that are going to be out there. And to me, you have, since they didn't address it in free agency, right, John? You always got to, free agency always kind of dictates a little bit what they're going to do in the draft, right? That kind of, not everything, but it kind of dictates what they're going to do. Well, they haven't signed a cornerback. Okay, in free agency, at least yet they haven't brought in a guy. So to me, that second round, you got to get that other corner. Okay, and then obviously safety in the rest of the rounds. You know, I like to see a defensive lineman, and I like to see another guard in here.
How about a running back?
You know, it wouldn't look in the middle round. Running back wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, fourth, absolutely, fifth round, not something like that.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise. Look, how many good backs have been taken third round, fourth round? I mean, holy crap, we've had a guy that was taken in the seventh round has won back to back Super Bowls, and you know, has been part of a back to back Super Bowl team in Pacheco. You know, so no, but that wouldn't surprise me either. But I think that cornerback is a position that second round they have to focus in on, John, and try to get that guy opposite of Tay.
Awesome. All right, Chris, anything else that you think we missed that you want to touch on Giants offseason-wise that you think we should touch on before we say goodbye?
No, I think we covered it, buddy. It's going to be a fascinating what they do. You know, obviously, look, we know, John, we discussed it here. Quarterback is something they're very interested in, and it's going to be interesting to see if they do draft one, if they're aggressive, if they move up, and all that. So to me, that's obviously what I think of all of Giant Nation is keeping an eye on. What the hell do they do? Do they go out and draft a quarterback April 25th? So that's going to be the fascinating question, buddy.
And it'll be about a month or so of people wringing their hands about what they're going to do. So it should be fun. You can keep track of all that with Giants Insider. Also, of course, Giants.com, the Giants mobile app. Chris Bisignano from Giants Insider. Chris, we appreciate the time, my friend. Enjoy the next few weeks. And we'll see you at the pre-draft press conference in a couple weeks when Joe Shane manages to tell us nothing over the course of 30 minutes. It'll be a great time for everybody.
John, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me back on, buddy. We'll talk soon.
Join us on the next Giants Huddle podcast, brought to you by Citizens, the official bank of the Giants. For Chris, I'm Schmelk. We'll see you next time.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait, did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.